The title of my subject matter is Change Your Attitude and Your Life Will Change. Change your attitude and your life will change. And I'll equate that with what's been said about the news today and yesterday and the day before, and what's been going on. When I say change our attitude, if our attitude is, and I'm going to go into that in my sermon, I won't leave that out, what we have to do to change our attitude, and our life will change, and it will change dramatically if we take the bull by the horns and say to ourselves, this is the world we live in. We can't change that world. What we're doing here is trying to reach another world, like Corey had mentioned in his comments. These are my comments. I feel very strongly about our attitude toward the news media and toward everything we read and everything we hear, that we don't lose track of what God has promised us. And like Corey was saying, we're very honored to be here and to be together and to know the truth of God. So I say again, change our attitude and our lives will change. And they will change dramatically. It doesn't matter what it is. What is good, I wrote down some things here. What we think about every day, how we feel. Maybe our attitude's not good on how we feel. How do we interact with others? The other day I was in the library. I was over at the library. And I pulled in alongside this one car, and it was bright red. I can remember that, brand new. And I pulled in there, and I come back out of the library, and I got in my car, and I started the engine. All of a sudden, some guy bangs on my window. He says, hey, I'm standing here. Don't move back. Hey, buddy. He called me buddy, and I thought, and I looked over at him, and I thought, I'm not your buddy. Don't call me that. I don't know you from Adam. But then I drove around, and I went out of the parking lot, and I thought, I have to change my attitude about that. That guy, because he didn't mean it like that. He meant he didn't want me to tear his door off the hinges. So I had to change my attitude. That's what we run across every single day. We change our attitude. We work at our attitude. If we don't, we're in big trouble, because our attitude is going to mirror what is around us. And what is around us is negativity, and I'll get into that in a little bit here. And what else is around us is people that we don't agree with. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Our attitude means everything to us. Do not forget that. If we have an attitude problem and we don't go to work on it, shame on us. But if we have an attitude program or attitude, and we go to work on it using the Bible, and that'll be my first point, and we go to work on it, I'm only going to give you 2 points on how we do that. But they're very important, and I'd like you to listen to them, because they're game changers, is what we call them in the New Viking Stadium. They call them game changers. They're going to call them. That's what they say they're going to do anyway. I don't really believe it. But so I want to give you just 2 points on how we can work in our attitude. Number one, set a goal. Set a goal to have a can-do attitude, using the Spirit of God to accomplish the goal. A can-do attitude. Set a goal. There's a scripture I'm going to read to you here. We turn to Philippians 4 and verse 11 through 13. There is, that is, a biblical statement, but a can-do attitude is a game changer. It is monumental to our stability as Christians. Monumental to us mentally. Change your attitude by having a can-do attitude. Monumental. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Here is Paul. Now, Paul understood what it meant to have an attitude, that it was a can-do attitude. If anybody could, he could. He says, not that I speak in Philippians 4 verse 11 in regard to need. This was read last weekend, I think. But I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. So Paul knew and he learned from life that you cannot go around and say, oh, woe is me. I can't change that. I can't change my attitude. I'm too stuck in the past and blame the past and blame others. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. That means everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew he couldn't do it on his own. He couldn't have a can-do attitude on his own. He understood that. He says, it's Christ in me that strengthens me. I want us to remember that as we go through these scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as I say for the third time, this is a game changer. If we can get to this point in our life, we're well on our way to controlling our attitudes, to controlling them, no matter what they are. Once a person, I put in my notes here, reaches this level of competence where Paul said, using the scripture, I can do anything I want. Once we reach that level of confidence, which I have to say, I am not there yet. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know. We can do anything. Can do. Can do. If nothing else, to repeat the statement, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Once in a while, I'll go through a period of time where things are kind of bucking me a little. I don't have control of my mind. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. If you ever get down and you're up against it, just say that to yourself. Maybe some of you do. Just say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And see the difference in your attitude. Immediately it will pop up that I can do it. Whatever it is, I can do it. This is not a pick yourself up by your bootstraps sermon by any stretch of the imagination. Paul understood that God has to be involved. It comes from God. This type of confidence comes from God. It doesn't come from within us as human beings. It's not a natural thing to be a can-do person. But run up against it. I had a man who I used to work in a butcher shop years ago when I was growing up. He said to me, Don, I want you to know one thing. I was trying to untie a knot. There isn't a knot that if you work at it long enough, you cannot untie. And I just looked at him. I just kind of blew him off. But what he was telling me, you can do it, but you got to work at it. To this day, 60, 70 years later, I still say when I run across a knot that I can't untie, it'll go, it'll keep going, I'll work it back and forth, and I work. Sure enough, it comes loose. So it's that attitude I'm getting at. Paul understood that. But the one main thing he understood is that that comes from God, to say I'm a can-do person. I put here, to reach this point, this level of confidence, there must be a change in our attitude away from ourselves and toward God. It must be away from ourselves, but toward God. Because he said, and I'll back that up by scripture, in Ephesians 3 in verse 14 through 21, here Paul wrote this letter, and he knew where it comes from. He knew where his strength is. I hope we do. I hope we do, that we know where our strength comes from. It comes to Christ in us. In Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So his Spirit gives us that inner man strength that we need to say, I can do it. I can do it. We don't have to be ashamed of saying that on a personal level, that I can do it. but always with God's help, always with God's help. We'll finish up on this scripture, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So it comes down to God dwelling in us, in our relationship with God and Christ. Well grounded, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about that, what he just said. Be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that make you feel like? Oh, well, that's a nice saying. That sure did come out pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty nice. No, it makes me feel I'm full of the fullness of God. That means everything in me or you leads to God. So we can have this attitude that nothing is going to get us down, that we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. And we will do it. Only if Christ is in us can we have a change of attitude. Let me repeat that. Only if Christ is in us can we have a change of attitude. We can work on attitudes. I hate to be in this world without God and Christ as my backdrop for my attitudes and my changes that I make. Christ has to be in us. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12. Now, to maintain that attitude, to maintain it, he says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 through 12, that was read last Sabbath also, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Do we believe that? That there's power in God's might? Do we believe that God can give us strength? Do we believe that we move and take air in our lungs by God's strength? There's real power there. So if we tap into it, we can say to ourselves, I can do that. I can do all things through Christ. I wouldn't want to leave out the last part. In the power of his might, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. So the focus has to switch from us to God and say, God, you do it for me. I'll put on the armor here. I'll sit on my deck and read my Kindle and read the Bible and pray, but you do the rest for me. So it goes to God. We give God the credit for that. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is only, I put in my notes, there is only one way out for us as Christians, and that is to raise our level of confidence to where we can resist him. That's our only way out, that we can raise our level of confidence so we can resist Satan the devil. If we don't raise that level, then we're in trouble. Then we're in the clutches of Satan. But he says, put on the whole armor of God. In other words, do your part and I'll do mine. And then you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a way to put it. Only Paul, I was talking to Tim this morning, could write something like that. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. And like he was saying to me, look what he went through in his life. Look what happened to him. And yet he could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What a man he was. Where are we at here? 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 goes on to say about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, the Bible is full of encouragement to tell us, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. How are you strong? You stay close to God. You involve God in your life. You let him be the focal point of your life. Then you can say, be strong. Then you can say, I can do it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's why I like the P piece of clean pick today. Very beautiful. And the things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier obeys the one above him. That's number one, a good soldier, a good Navy man. He says, you're to be a good soldier. You're to put on this armor of God. You're to do this. You're to pray. You're to study. You're to put everything before God or in God's hands. You do your part, he says, I'll do mine. No one, in verse 4, engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So again, here we are, like was mentioned in the announcements, Corey was mentioned, we're blessed people. We're enlisted by God. We're enlisted to be here, to come on the Sabbath and rub shoulders and feel good about it. There's nothing out there that's anything good other than we have to live in it. But we don't have to be a part of it. And our attitude does not have to reflect what goes on out there. We've been enlisted into a different army than the world has been enlisted into by Satan the devil. Our whole attitude is dependent upon our relationship with God and Christ. Our whole attitude is dependent upon our relationship. We want to get that in our minds and keep it there. Because we can change our attitude. We can change them. But that's dependent upon our relationship with God. And without that, there is no changing of our attitude. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 8. We're moving right along here. Jerry's got my blower on here, so all I got to do is hold my notes down so they don't go fluttering off at the side. Last time I spoke, somebody come and handed me half my notes, and I said, where'd you get those? It's from the stage. He said, they blew off the stage. So I was either going to tack them all together or tell Jerry to turn that down a little bit. 1 Timothy 6, I get off on these things, you know. You have to look at me and say, well, you know, that's the way he is. He lets his notes blow all over the hall. That's the way he is. He gets a little loud once in a while. Sometimes he mellows a little bit. So that's the way I am. So you know, you all know that. Six, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is a great gain. So notice, what is first? Godliness is gain. With contentment is great gain. So the godliness will bring us contentment. That's great gain. That's wonderful. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having good and food and clothing, with these shall we be content. So what I put that in there. I don't know. It fits, and yet it doesn't fit. Well, we'll leave it in. It's in there. I just read it to you. It must be kept in balance. But when I say that, the two go together, godliness with contentment. They go together and they give us the strength that we need to keep on track. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, last scripture in this first point. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. And the Bible is so full of these things that I'm going to go into that in a minute, and you're going to see it. So full of positive affirmations. And positive aspects. I was talking to Tim, I said, there's not one part of the Bible that is not positive. But I'll get into that in a minute. Verse 6 of Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Oh, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I can do anything. You know, guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So that's the first point. That didn't take too long and not bad. Point number two is this. And this is critical. It's having a positive mental attitude. You've heard me give sermon after sermon after sermon. If we want to make a change in our life, it would be from negative to positive. Because there is nothing that will change our life. Nothing that will change our life as much as being positive instead of negative. I personally will turn around and walk away from the person who is negative. Not in church here, because I don't want it to be that obvious. But I don't run across it here much. I have. Point number two, look for and meditate on the positive aspects in the aspirations or in the aspects and the affirmations found in Scripture. Look for and meditate if you want to change an attitude. Meditate on them. I've been reading the book of Psalms, and when I'm working out, I lay it on my elliptical. So I picked up about 6 or 7 Psalms I want us to meditate on, so we become more positive people. We make that big change from negative to positive. This starts in Psalm 103, verse 2 through 14. A lot of verses here, but we'll read them anyway. Psalm 103, verse 2 through 14. Now, if these aren't positive, I would like to know where to go and read something that is positive. He says in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Wow! You mean I can forget all his benefits? No, I can't. I can't forget all his benefits. That's positive. God is there to give us benefits. He's there to give us help. Let's read on. Forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. So what about that? Is that positive or is that negative? That is positive. He heals all our diseases. He forgives all our sins. I was reading Psalm 132. We were out on the deck this morning, and it says, "Oh God, I can't remember how that was put, but if you could hold all of our iniquities, who could stand?" He said, but there is forgiveness with God. Everything we read is on this high level of being positive. We want to be positive Christians. We don't want to be negative Christians. What have we got to be negative about? He says he heals all our diseases, redeems us from destruction, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I always remember that one, and many of you are going to be right behind me. They're going to say, "Boy, I wish you'd do that to me right now. You renew my youth as the eagle." But you're not there yet, but you will be. He renews my health like the eagles. Well, not only that, what's negative about this? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. That's positive. Meditate on those. Breathe them. Meditate on them. See them and put them in your mind in the morning and say, "Wow, that's positive." Don't have to go down and watch the news 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't have to go down and watch about the shooting. My wife asked me on the way to church, "Is there anything new on that shooting?" So I didn't want to put it into my mind because I was speaking. But these things are positive. Think on these things. Meditate on them. Where were we at? He will not always strive with us in verse 9, nor will he keep his anger forever. Oh boy, am I glad of that. That is very positive. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. That's positive. As positive as you can get. Nor punishes us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. Thank God for that. Oh my, thank God for that. Then he knows I am just dust. Like an old widow woman in St. Paul Church used to say, made on two shovelfuls of clay. That's what we are. He knows our frame. Thank God he does. Thank God he knows us, brethren. That he knows us well enough, he can say this to us. The benefits that he gives us are all positive. And he wants us to meditate on them. To meditate on what I have in my notes here. Meditation on the benefits God gives us brings a positive attitude. Here, I got a note, one I know what I made here. We cannot be positive if we do not reflect on all that he has done for us. It's humanly impossible to be totally positive unless we reflect, as Christians, what God has done for us. And then he wants us to meditate on what he has done for them. So we don't forget it. Like he was mentioned in the announcements. Corey got up here. Thank God that we're here. Thank God that we're in church. Thank God for the truth. Those are positive aspects. Meditate on them. Think about them. Put them on your mind before any news or whatever it is that hits your mind in the morning. Think about them, and you'll be more positive. These are positive affirmations from God, which will make us positive only to the degree we reflect on them. Only to the degree that we reflect on them. I have read the Psalms and working out an elliptical going, I don't know how fast I go, but anyhow, I'll hit a word, and the word will come there, and I'll stop. And I'll just look at that word, and the word, and I'll look back at it. And I'll look back at it again. You know what I'm doing? I'm thinking about that word and that whole verse. And that's what makes me positive. I'm a positive person. I'm not bragging. That's the truth. That is the absolute truth. It shall make us positive only to the degree we reflect them. Psalm 107, verse 4 through 9. Psalm 107, verse 4 through 9. They wandered in the wilderness, in Psalm 107, verse 4, desolate, in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Even now reading this, I just get chills. I feel like, well, I'm not on an elliptical because Jerry said that he's going to take that away from the lectern if I should use it too much. So, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. He delivered them. Meditate on them. How many times did God deliver you out of their distresses? And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to God for all his goodness. For all his goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would give thanks. Oh, that men would meditate on his wonderful works. Oh, that they would meditate on what he can do to the human mind, which we talked about, my son again here, 3-4 days ago. How God can take a human mind and he can turn it around. We were sitting at the table with our family the other night, and my daughter said, Dad, you remember this? Do you remember that? I said, no, God wasn't in my life at that time. Right out of my mouth like that. Just say that. Say, look what he has done. Look where he has brought me. Tim was mentioning this morning, do you ever get nervous when you get up there? I said, no, the only thing I get nervous about is I drank too much coffee that morning and I'm a little bit quivering. But other than that, he goes on here to say, oh, that men would give thanks to God. Oh, that we would give thanks to God for all his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the hungry soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. When we see what God can do, we become positive people. When we read and when we meditate, we become positive people, brethren. Automatically positive people. You can't read these Psalms and not be positive. There's no way you can do that, in my estimation. Where was I? Positive people. Psalm 111, verse 7 through 10. Psalm 111, verse 7 through 10. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. What a positive affirmation that is. We don't have to worry that that Bible is going to change. We don't have to worry that the truth is not going to be there for us 10 years from now or 5 years from now. The truth is the truth is the truth. It's going to be there. It's forever and ever. They're done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. How often do you say that? Holy and awesome is your name, God. Because if you do say that, you're a positive individual. You can't get away from it if you acknowledge God in that way. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So God is saying, do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So just do his commandments. I put here, everything God has done, past, present, and future, is positive, and it is for our benefit. Everything that God has done, past, present, and future, is for our benefit. Nobody else. For the rest of the world later on, they'll benefit from what we think and how we stick by the truth. We have to stick by it. Psalm 111, verse 1 through 5, or 112. Psalm 112, verse 1 through 5. We're getting down there now because I'm running out of steam, I can tell. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Do you delight in the commandments of God? Do you look at the commandments and say, boy, do I delight in them? Well, if you do, you're going to be a positive person. You delight. He says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. So he tells us what will happen to us. Cut and dried, easy to understand. Be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Oh, here's another thing. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Wealth and riches. We work all our lives for wealth and riches. He says, no, obey the commandments. Be positive about your life. Meditate on what God gives you. And he says, it'll be there. Riches and honor. Riches will be in his house. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. What beautiful words they are. What beautiful words. There arises light in the darkness. I read that when I was on the elliptical and I thought, that is going to go in my notes. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. Only God could say that word, never. He will never be shaken. What a blessing that is. How positive is that statement? How many times during the day would you remember that statement? He will never be shaken. He will never be shaken. Never be shaken. What a statement to make. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil things, evil tidings. His heart is steadfast. So I'll put in there, when you read the news, he says here, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast. Why? Because he's meditating on the things that God has done. Because he knows God is there for him. said he's not going to leave him or forsake him. He says, you will not be afraid of evil tidings. He will see the world around him. He sees it kind of crumbling. We think it's crumbling. We were talking, you know, we were sitting out on the deck the other day talking about way back when God had to recreate the earth. What a mess it was in. Well, it's not there yet, brethren. We're not there. There's people dying in the streets, but we're not in Sodom and Gomorrah yet. We're not quite there yet. So give it some time. Meditate on God's word. Please meditate. That's the only thing that's going to give us contentment. It's the only thing that's going to give us peace of mind, at least for me anyway. You can take whatever you want out of that statement. You never be shaken. You will, in verse 8, his heart is established, and he will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. So when you're reading, look for these types of positive feedback from God. Just look for them. You won't look over one in Psalm. You won't look that far. There's always forgiveness with God. That's going to stick with me for 2-3 days. Psalm 132. There's always forgiveness with God. Am I ever thankful for that? And I hope you are too. I pray that you are, that there is forgiveness from God. Psalm 118, we've got two psalms left here. Verse 5 through 9, we're doing good on our time. Psalm 118, 5 through 9, David says, I cried to the Lord in my trouble, and he answered me. He put me in a good place. The Lord is with me. Whoa, he is. That's positive. The Lord is with me. Read that in the Psalms and say, oh, thank God. I will not be afraid what man can do. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will triumph over my enemies. How many times could we say that? How many times can we say it as Christians? I'm not going to be afraid of that guy. If he's a 300-400 pound behemoth that comes after me with a set of 8-ounce boxing gloves, I won't be afraid of that man. How many of us can say that? Say, well, yeah, the Lord is my helper. I'm not afraid of that. That's hard to do. That is very hard to do, to say, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to be afraid. You go up in front of somebody or you have to do something you're fearful of. Say, I'm not going to be afraid. See how hard that is. You go up there and you shake and vibrate and you won't know what's going on with your head. And you think to yourself, I will not be afraid. The Lord is my helper. But those are our positive affirmations that we can pick up out of here. Why wouldn't we read them? Why wouldn't we put them into action in our lives? I'm pounding on the lectern. I won't beat it down to a pile of lumber. This isn't an attack speech. I'm very, very, very enthused about this subject, that we have to meditate on what God has done and what he's going to do in the future. What he's going to do in the future. Our whole attitude and life depends on how positive we are. Oh, here's a note I put in there. Our whole attitude in life depends on us and how positive we are of the outcome based on Scripture. How positive are we that God is going to see 5 policemen shot? And he sees that, and it's found in Scripture that that's going to happen. It's going to happen and it's going to keep on happening. But that's positive because we know the truth. We understand what's going on. We understand why a man gets up there and does that to other men. We know what happened to that man. He's totally engulfed by Satan, the devil. There was no way a man could do something like that and not have Satan and his demons all around him. But we know the truth, so we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be. That's just not Don Erickson talking. That's the Bible talking. That's the psalm that says that. And we can be sure of that. And we can be positive of that. So don't, I don't like to say don't, but try not to go way out and say the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. It isn't there yet, brethren. It isn't there. I grew up during the Great Depression. Everybody then thought the world was going to collapse. Adolf Hitler come, it didn't collapse. The world thought they were going to. They thought that German army was going to be floating across the Atlantic. They were close enough with their U-boats on the East Coast. But it's not there yet, in my estimation. Now, you may have a different one. I mean, you may have a different idea altogether. I'm basing it on what I said here. How positive I am of the outcome based on Scripture. I'm looking for the outcome. I'm looking for the outcome based on what I read in the Scripture. I know what the Scripture says, but I have to read it. I think I know it. I might be able to quote it, but I be can-do people, because that's what God wants.